So, let's be official about it. This is the beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure 139B. We're on page 560. We are talking about the crosses. We are talking about the mutable cross and its symbol, the swastika, which was appropriated by the Nazis, because some of them were great readers, if unintelligent readers, of the secret doctrine. And remember the connection, the swastika is a Hindu, Indian kind of symbol. I think it's even found, it's quite universal, it's even found among the American Indians, but it certainly is found in India. And the close connection of the rays and signs of Germany. The rays are the inverse of each other, and they both have an airy soul. So the swastika naturally was transferred over to the minds of those readers of the ancient Aryan information and culture, the Aryan lore. There's always a great connection between rays 1 and 5, right? Because the fifth ray soul resolves onto the first ray, usually. And there's a connection between the Teutonic subrace and the Aryan subrace, the first subrace of the fifth root race. So that's the connection between Germany and India. But there was a great distortion in the transferring due to the tremendous egoistic glamour of that group, and especially of the leader, the megalomaniacal Hitler, who even said at the defeat of Germany that the German people were not worthy of him. He may have a few things to turn around in the future. So the man here on this mutable cross and using the symbol of the swastika is unconscious of the four entering energies and interprets a little in terms of the soul. The energies make their impact upon him and drive him into material activity. You know, it's there's the effect of, let's call it action through impulse rather than will or choice. This cross of the personality dedicates the man who is crucified thereon to material ends. Dedicates. To material ends in order that he may learn eventually their divine use. The treasures which have been gathered, we are told, are of value. We're told this in the second ray law of... cleaning my glasses. Law of repulse. Burn the garnered treasures of the past, yet show their basic usefulness. The garnered treasures, the form of the garnered treasures is not so important, but their essence is of importance and useful under the guidance of the soul. It is in the lower aspect of this cross. It is in the lower aspect of this cross that the Nazis chose this symbol as theirs, the lower aspect. They were expressing at the close of the material cycle of human existence, is this Piscean, or is a lesser Kali Yuga? Kali Yuga ending. There are probably, you know, we hear of the great yugas, and none of them is anything less than 432,000 years long. Then the double, the triple, and the quadruple of that. So it was a close of the material cycle of human existence. It's either the early degrees of Pisces on the processional wheel, moving backwards, moving clockwise. They chose, they were expressing the false and evil use of matter, of which separativeness, cruelty, and selfishness is the key. They didn't choose the higher meaning. course, there are double swastikas that revolve in both directions, and the other swastika perhaps revolving in a clockwise direction. There's a contradiction there, of course, because astrologically, clockwise means to go against the group consciousness, and counterclockwise means to go with it. And yet, when we simply look at the direction of the spinning of the circle, we have adopted the idea that clockwise is correct and anti-clockwise is not correct. They were expressing at the close of the cycle, at the in the period of the close of the Piscean Age and under the death-dealing effect of Pluto, they put matter first, the false and evil use of matter. Matter becomes preeminent, the dictatorship of matter. And all things were decided in terms of material race. So material race was the arbiter. And nothing of the quality of the soul. The misuse of substance and the prostitution of matter and form to evil ends is a sin against the Holy Spirit. It's really, the Holy Spirit descends to lift matter up. This is driving matter deeper into density. So we have here really what we would call a retrogression. It might be said that the swastika drives into danger dire and into evil ways those whose greed is great and who see no beauty in the dawning light and who know no love of human lives. Well, this from the ancient commentary does describe the Nazis and their philosophy entirely inverted. I'm told horrible stories about this, you know. Will over all, and cruelty as a virtue. Teaching SS members to strangle kittens so that they can show they will not be affected by any slightest touch of the loving energy. So it's really Antichrist in that respect. It's the use of the first ray in the Antichrist mode, and DK tells us really that the first ray is the Antichrist. Not that it's bad, it's just not the second aspect mode. So they really inverted the Shambhala force and were out to prove the dominance of their egocentric identities. The swastika drives into danger dire and into evil ways, retrogressive against the emergent love on our planet. Those whose greed is great, they have the desire for the acquisition of the effect and not the cause, and who see no beauty in the dawning light, the rising of the soul and the soul ray, and who know no love of human lives. Love more your fellow men, it is said, unto the six-ray type. The six-ray type, interestingly, was very prevalent in the Nazi movement. When you look at Goebbels, for instance, his fanatical devotion to Hitler. Sometimes I look at those two and I think, well, Hitler, first-ray soul, six-ray personality. Goebbels, third-ray soul, six-ray personality, the manipulator of souls, and also the deluder of souls. To those who respond not to the lower aspects and effects of the whirling cross, the one that drives consciousness deeper back into matter, the swastika flings them from itself far afield, this is so good, until they come to rest upon the cross of chosen crucifixion, the fixed cross of the pledged disciple. Isn't that marvelous? The a way of describing the fixed cross, the cross of chosen crucifixion. There are so many excellent names of crosses here. these, you know, when you're teaching a class, you never, I've never had anyway, the opportunity to go page by page, phrase by phrase, word by word. There's a time limit. And one can never, for instance, except maybe in a study group, which operates over a long period of time, study every page with care. And here we can do that. And it's making an impression upon me, this cross of right direction, this cross of chosen crucifixion, and this, the other name for it. Well, you know, do I dare go back? How it is said, I just remember it's in purple, if we get back that far. There it is, the cross of fixed vision. Right direction and chosen crucifixion. I'll write these together. Cross of right direction and of chosen crucifixion. The fixed vision and of fixed vision and of immovable intent. Well, we're, many of us, I guess, those who adhere to this teaching are on that cross now and are learning a great change of values, learning a considerable change of values, a super diaphragmatic values. The values which occur when it's the energies, the chakras above the diaphragm, which are active in drawing up the lower energies. That's what we're learning. So the symbol of the fixed cross, as far as humanity is concerned, might be this. I just saw a symbol of, it was actually a picture of Sirius, which looked exactly like that. Sirius was radiant, and from it came four rays. The bottom ray, okay, was not as long, but from it came four rays, and one can imagine that in one mode of interpreting this symbol, the circle will increase until it contains the four rays, and then becomes, in a way, the symbol of the earth. This is also the rosy cross, the rose at the center, is very much like the sun at the center, or we could imagine perhaps the lotus at the center, the unfoldment of consciousness due to crucifixion upon this cross of matter, where desire is reversed into aspiration and personality consciousness becomes soul consciousness. What will DK say about this? Here you have, okay, is this the cross of humanity? Interesting. Maybe the cross of what humanity is to be, when it expresses the second ray soul and the fourth ray personality. On this cross, the man is illumined, blinding light, and conscious of the effects of the completed circle initiated, completed cycle initiated by the circle, of the four energies to which he was subjected upon the mutable cross. Well, perhaps if that, it's a lesser circle we're looking at, in a way, which we are observing, and it serves as a foundation for progress to the man upon the fixed cross. So that circle will necessarily expand, but it's lesser now, and he understands that there has been a completed cycle in which he became, from animal man, virtually unconscious, he became an integrated, self-conscious personality. He moved over the cycle, let's say, cycle, he moved from Leo to Leo. Over the cycle, he moved from Leo to Leo. From the first glimmering of self-awareness in Leo to full self-awareness as an integrated human being, bringing the third aspect, the personality aspect, to its climax in and of itself, but not to the higher Leo or the still higher Leo, but not to yet. Oh, come to the two higher phases of Leo, soul consciousness and monadic consciousness, which can also be considered to be related to the sun and hence to Leo. So he says just a little bit about it, doesn't he? The man is illumined, and hence the principle of the sun is also there. So the circle is the circle of illumination, is the circle of illumination, and also the circle of the completed former cycle. And consciousness, represented by the circle, must increase and overcome the cross of matter, which it does when it encloses that cross. And so I suppose we see what then can happen right here on our earth if the earth fulfills its symbol. There, this would be the circling of the cross, which would neutralize it in a way. Kind of interesting, there would be a way to move from the cross, which is the square, to the triangle, to the circle. The circling of the cross is the solarization of the cross, and the etheric body of the sun is that series of interlaced triangles. So the circling of the cross is the, let's call it, solarization of the cross. And this is done upon the cross of solar fire, which is the fixed cross. Then we come to another symbol. Interesting. The symbol for the cardinal cross is more complicated and can be portrayed thus. I remember when we were talking about triangles and how from every point of the triangle two other points, or three other points emanated and made their connections in the webs. Here we seem to have one point. The triangle is connected in horoscopy with spirit, stars with consciousness, and squares with body form. So when we see the blue triangles, the grand trine, which sometimes doesn't have the greatest reputation because of its so-called ease, we do realize we are looking at a symbol of the highest aspect, of the spirit aspect. So let's see what DK says about this. Here you have the triangle of the manifested monad. Well, you know, when you look at the picture of the chart here in these charts which Keith has prepared for us, it's a great service. All the coloring is really indicative. The monad is triangular. It has a threefold nature. And it has extensions and other places to which the energy travels. Let's see if that's involved here. The triangle of the manifested monad. Well, because in a way, you know, the essence of the monad is forever unmanifested. It is pure being. Being descends to manifest, indeed, but remains pure being. You know, one analogy, you have the candle which lights another candle, but the lighting candle preserves the flame even though the others are lit. So one lights the 3, the 7, the 12, the 49, and so forth, depending by what numerical grouping you want to descend. So the triangle of the manifested monad plus the 3 cycles of 4 energies focused and blended in a unity. The 3 cycles of 4 energies. Okay. Well, we've had 3 cycles. One pertains to the personality, one to the soul, one to the spirit. So it's as if the personal, soul, and spirit cycle are all blended, and indeed the spirit cycle absorbs the other 2. You have also the line of evolution. By the way, I did not comment on the fact that in the fixed cross you have a rather long vertical arm, and this is the long, long time spent upon the rising way. So as far as humanity is concerned, many more years are spent on the rising way than on the way which leads to the consummation. So it's interesting that it is, in a way, the Christian cross, the long armed Christian cross with the longer vertical arm than the horizontal arm. Maybe he will say more about this. Let us see. So the triangle of the manifested monad plus the 3 cycles of the 4 energies. Now all the 4 energies can operate on the level of personality, form, and matter. They can all operate on the level of soul. They can all operate on the level of the monad or spirit. But they are focused and blended in the unity and within in the higher, the highest of the cycles. We tend to see things unified, and the eternal now can be realized at that stage. It's not going to be realized at the lesser stages. It's not even going to be contemplated at the first stage. At the second stage, it may be contemplated but not realized. At the third stage, the stage of the third cycle, it can be realized. So you have also the line of evolution, the evolution of consciousness going down deep into and becoming inclusive of matter, and at the same time reaching out into the spaces of divinity. So this is the descent of the monad, in a way, isn't it? And maybe the re-ascent, maybe this is, in a way, the entire path. It also seems to represent Fohat to a certain extent, a threefold nature descending in a straight line and involutionarily creating the matter which will be used for the instruments, the vehicles. The lines connect with other triangles, presumably, until the entire network of entities is found. I mean, in every monadic circle, there are going to be other triangles. You kind of wonder whether within a monadic circle, eventually there might not be interlaced circles. But the monad right now is seen as a triangle. You wonder whether there will come a time when the monad is seen as a circle. Right now, perhaps because the consciousness is the triangle, is the soul, we're dealing with the monad as the triangle, but there will come a time, I suppose, when it will be represented as the circle, maybe in the next solar system. The circling of the triangle and the triangle above the square. This is what we're looking at in terms of the progression through which man passes. Okay. So going back here to the, that's something I just tried to preserve. So the big question for us is, you know, will wisdom and activity of the monad, and what do they connect to? They certainly are fed from above, and they're also fed on the horizontal, and one would wonder whether they could also descend to the spiritual triad. But somehow, non-isolation is implied, or non-isolation, or unity, oneness, a completed picture of many, many triangles. And, you know, are these lines coming or going? These lines can be coming in from similar structures in the field, or they could be going out to other structures. I think both are probably the case. Much that can be said anent the three crosses has been already covered in scattered form. When dealing separately with each of the 12 signs of the zodiac, it need not be repeated. If we do our homework, it need not be repeated. We will find and piece together those references. We notice that there is no cross, per se, in the cardinal cross. There's only a tau, a T-square, an important figure. And when you think about it, and you look at the structure of the human being, you see that although there are chakras on every level of the 18 subplanes, when you reach the top here, we have a kind of a trinity, a threefoldness, the triangle, the soul. That's what we have. We don't have yet more chakras. So this could be inverted, perhaps, in some way. We could have the great and sustaining energies coming in on the line and seeing to the incarnation of the triangle, incarnation of the monad as the triad, as the triangular soul, as the threefold personality, all reflecting. So is this arrow pointing upwards? You know, in some ways, this is showing the nature of Pluto, which is of the first ray and connected with Shambhala. And if we were to invert it, it would show the nature of Vulcan, another, well, inverted arrow would be Vulcan. So there is a definite directionality to this symbol. It's going up or it's going down if we manage in our minds to invert it. And I guess we could play with the symbol. But the triangle in it is supreme and the monad is supreme here. The threefold monad, right? The triangle of manifested monad. Well, as I say, if we're dealing with the manifestation part of the monad, it will be a triangle. If we're dealing with the essence of the monad, it will be a shared point, shared by every monad in cosmos. It will be one thing. So the triangle is already taking us into manifestation, because if you think about it, right here, we find that the lower five planes are Brahmic planes, and they are the five planes of human attainment. Human and superhuman attainment are really planes of manifestation under Saturn. And they have a threefold symbol, the triple flowers, or the triangle is their symbol. So Vulcan is connected with the spiritual will, and the spiritual will is found in this place. So the arrow makes sense. And the arrow is threefold, just as the monad is threefold. The rising of the monad following the descent of the monad. Symbolized for us by the energies of Pluto rising and Vulcan descending, but in a way, Vulcan is also involved with reascent, because it's involved with the rendering luminous of all forms of matter and raising the vibration. Vulcan connected with the law of vibration, the hammer causing vibration, the rapidifying, must be a better word, the rendering more rapid of vibration under Vulcan, which is in essence rising. I think there's a lot we could say and discuss about these crosses, and perhaps in your groups you will do that. I thought what might be possible, you know, is groups could get together to study esoteric astrology, and you might be able to listen to some of what I've said about the different pages, and then when you come back to discuss, you can augment and expand upon what has been said. But it might enrich the field of thought. That would be the hope. At least sometimes I feel like one of those points which is offering lines of connection to other points which have not been taken into consideration when simply dwelling upon a particular figure. So connectivity is what I'm trying to provide here, and inferences concerning connectivity. That would be desirable. So much has been said already. He says, this treatise, like the Secret Doctrine, is designed to instigate research, the power to delve and to seek. Because that process has a definite effect upon the cells of the brain and leads to a needed stimulation. Well, just think about this, then. A mind and brain embodied in a man, it says, of the fifth ray type. So if we use the fifth ray, and there are other methods of research as well, but the fifth ray is one of the prominent rays of research. Maybe philosophical research could occur along the third ray line. But if we use the fifth ray, we will stimulate the cells of the brain and lead to increasing brain radiance. And this from the use of the ray, which is now the most luminous ray, the ray of greatest intensity, the brightest of the rays. So we're always going to find that the fifth ray will lead to greater light, and it will bring the brain into a condition where it is very sensitive to the light. And DK's telling us that if we instigate, there's Aries instigating things, instigate research, we will have a definite effect upon our brain cells, and they will be able to respond to the higher energies, and as a result, we'll be able to bring those energies right down into our brain consciousness, which is the completion of a connection that must be made. In the study of the crosses, the true meaning of their influence will only appear if you begin to think in terms of synthesis or in the relation of four streams of energy, flowing unitedly upon and through any form of divine manifestation. Now, this means we not only receive energy directly from, say, our sun sign, but from all three of the members of the cross on which our sun is found. Thus we receive indirectly. And he made much of this, talking about the indirect influences that anybody might have It would be difficult maybe to determine them because so often we focus on a person as if their sun sign or their rising sign is the major thing. But there are at least six other energies which can be drawn into the picture. At least if the sun and the rising sign are on different crosses. If they're on the same cross, then there's simply going to be four energies. And the point opposite the sun as well will have the same four energies, itself and three others. So we have to begin to think in terms of synthesis and the fact that we can, as we are reaching a more synthetic state of development, begin to draw on the energies of the crosses rather than just of our sign. So this is not an easy thing to do. To think in this way is not easy, for the ability to think synthetically, taking many things into consideration, is only just beginning to appear in the foremost minds of the race. Now, it's obvious. That the mastermind has this capacity and is responding to the crosses. And even if we don't have certain of the planets in the crosses, we can imagine, we have all the planets, of course, and we can imagine what the conduit of energy would be if the untenanted arm of the cross were in fact tenanted. In my own case, I say, well, okay, I have Pluto and Leo, I have Venus and Taurus, I have Mars and the Moon and Aquarius. Scorpio is left untenanted. There's no tenant there. No one's at home. No one's renting Scorpio. So I imagine, well, what about Mars as the esoteric ruler of Scorpio? Can I reach Scorpio through Mars? And of course the answer is always yes. And that will link it directly to Aquarius, where the Mars and Moon are found. So when we're on a particular cross of consciousness, we can begin to think in terms of having access to all the energies of that cross. And when we have an untenanted arm, we simply look toward the esoteric ruler and find the way that that energy can enter. This is a long way from the astrology of events. It's the astrology of energy control, really. It's the astrology of will. We decide that we will control these energies. And we identify them, and we direct them, and we receive them, and we manipulate them or move them about. So it can be illustrated, and then only analytically, whichever negates synthesis. So he's saying that the use of the fifth ray, third ray, if excessive and entirely captivating the mind, will negate synthesis by remarking in connection with the mutable cross, for instance, that the synthesis of evolution, its problem and its goal, all appear in a united whole presentation when the influences are viewed as follows. Okay, 562, and maybe we want to see if there's something to view here. No pictures. So when the influences are viewed as followed, learning to think in wholes, learning to look at the horoscope and see a pattern of interactivity, not getting caught in fragmentation. I often use the analogy of the compound eye of the grasshopper or the insect. It sees in fragments, and it sees the same image as if all divided up. It doesn't have the power to unify image as does the rounded eye. So we have to go in a way from the polygon to the sphere, from the three-dimensional polygon to the sphere. The sphere is the more perfect figure than the polygon is, even as the polygon gradually begins to approximate the sphere, or two-dimensional as the inscribed polygon with ever more faces, ever more regular faces, begins to approximate the circle. So The Synthesis of Evolution, Its Problem, Contending with the Pairs of Opposites and Building the Proper Kinds of Forms, and Succeeding in Building Vitality, Responsiveness, Sensitivity, and Intelligence. That's the problem. And its goal, the United Integrated Personality, they will appear in a united whole presentation when the influences of the mutable cross, say, are viewed in this way. So, Gemini, the presentation of duality, and between the poles, judgment must be made. So, two consciousness, all of these things, when you use a word like presentation, it's a philosophical term, to present to consciousness, so that consciousness must recognize that which is presented. So the presentation of duality, we're always going to have contrasts. Virgo, the presentation of the blending of life and form. Although Virgo is a very analytical sign in many ways, we must not forget under Neptune, veiled by the moon, maybe under Vulcan, which heats things up so they can blend, the presentation of blending life and form. Notice he said life and form, so that's like spirit and matter. Or also, and preliminarily, the blending of consciousness and form. All right. Preliminarily. And, well, prelim in. How about, well, it looks like there is such a word, once it's spelled correctly, but I never know because I've entered many words which don't seem to exist, but then the spell check doesn't catch it. Virgo, the presentation of blending life and form. We're also told of the blending power of the third logos. I think this is in A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. Virgo has a close connection to the third aspect as well as the second, but in A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, let's see if we can find it. Something will be there. The blending power of the third logos is felt at the fifth initiation. How many logoi are there here? Well, there are seven. So we're not necessarily talking about the a member of the logoic trinity, a person of the trinity. But anyway, the third logos, and if the third logos is Saturn, monadically considered, and maybe even in terms of its soul ray, maybe, can Saturn officiate at blending? I wonder. Well, anyway, Saturn rules the atmic plane, and that third initiation, I can't say that it couldn't be taken in relation to the atmic plane. There's some place where we talk about the Buddhic plane, but it is, in a way, an atmic initiation, blending power. Unifying heat, dynamic electricity, magical force, aggressive fire of the sixth logos, yeah. Illuminating light of the fifth logos, harmonizing life of the fourth logos. These are brilliant. And they are found on page 433 of A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. One almost wants to copy them and put them here, like that, TCF 433, and make them smaller, yes, and put them in a different color, like that. But here's the one we've been looking at, Virgo in relation to blending soul and form, and soul and spirit, life, that is, and form. And I suppose to make it complete, there would have to be some way that there's a blending of life and soul. This could happen via the jewel and the lotus in a way, as the life aspect is the true jewel on the monadic plane. I'm sure there's a great design here, you know, facets of jewels found on different levels. One gets the intimation that there's a tremendous geometrical organization which is underlying everything that we see, that God geometrizes, and especially in the second ray solar system, we're going to have those kinds of geometrical realizations and revelations. Sagittarius, the presentation of focused energy, and Pisces, the presentation of a blended radiance. I like that very much about Pisces here, because it fits so well with the last decanate of Pisces, where last decan of Pisces, DK hints at a sun rulership after Mars subsides, and one other, maybe Mercury as well. But anyway, the sun is what's left, and the sun gives us that blended radiance. So if we can look at the mutable cross in terms of its united whole presentation, the following influences would help us do that. Namely, duality, presentation of duality, presentation to the unifying consciousness. So see, a consciousness is attempting to see in wholes, and when seeing these factors, can better see in wholes. So as we look at the cross, this is what we should see if we wish to see the cross whole. Right. This is what we would see. We would see duality everywhere, a blending process going on, blending life and form. We would see focused energy throughout this cross, and finally a blended radiance. Just do a little exercise with yourself, and duality, blending, focused energy, and blended radiance. Notice how the word blend occurred in these opposites, and how, you know, in other words, let's look at this. The word blend occurred in the opposites of Pisces, of Virgo, and Pisces. Okay, and duality and focus are opposites themselves. Blending is a similar quality found in a pair of opposites, and duality and focus are opposites as well. So can we see all this together? That's the question. Can we see duality and focused energy together? And can we see a blending of the part and the blended radiance of the whole when all the parts are blended? Well, it's an exercise, isn't it, to see in whole, to see in larger spheres, instead of taking the fifth ray and just making a laser-like beam upon an isolated object and trying to learn all we can about the object. We can hold what we call field consciousness and try to look for all the relations within field consciousness. So we can hold what we might call field consciousness and look for all interactions and relations within the chosen field. We can, as it were, ponder upon the fixed, the mutable cross, see it in front of us, visualize it. Yeah. And see if we can grasp the sense of what all these energies are doing together. Well, it would be a subtle matter, and we'd have to work at it. But he's saying, look, it's not easy. It's not easy to see in holes. Isn't he saying that? The ability to think synthetically is only just beginning to appear in the foremost minds of the race. But we can learn how to do that. What man has done, man can do. It doesn't mean that what all men have done, any particular man must do. We can choose and avoid some of the mistakes, can't we? So, the culminating radiance is the result of the focus of life, intention, and energy into a radiant point of power. Well, there is kind of a blended radiance here. Pisces almost gives it to us. It's the most, in a way, synthetic sign of the zodiac. And its meaning is almost like that of the radiant point of power at the center of the cross, or elevated in the form of a pyramid, the pyre amid, the fire within. One day we have to leave the darkened room and see these things for ourselves, and gradually we are climbing this web, this network, which leads into greater revelation. The culminating radiance is the result of the focus of life, intention, and energy into a point of radiant power. So every cross, has a point of culminating radiance. Is that how he said it? Culminating radiance. Culminating radiance, a radiant point of power. At the heart of every cross, at the heart of every chakra, you have that. And, oh, you know, think of it. Think of it going back. I'm quite fascinated by that cosmic decanates. Every cosmic decanate must have its own jewel, because every cosmic decanate is, in a way, an aspect of a chakra, or, well, let's just say that we have here three cosmic decanates ruled respectively by Taurus, Scorpio, and Pisces. There must be a jewel at the center of the zodiac. So maybe it's not correct to say that every cosmic decanate has its jewel, but maybe contributes something to the jewel that is at the center of every chakra. So, subjectively, when you look at something like the constellation Orion, which is a chakra within the one about whom naught may be said, there must be at its very center a kind of a cosmic jewel. There's ways of counting the 7, the 3, plus the 1. Or we can, you know, I've talked about the 14. The 13 is important. The 11 is important. There are different ways of counting the structures, all of which will lead to significant numbers. It says here, you have been told that in connection with the mutable cross at this time, the sign Pisces is the most potent. And when the work of the mutable cross has been accomplished, the acquiescing disciple, that's, you know, he's giving us, isn't he? This is a Piscean word. If you learn anything in Pisces, it is acquiescence. Seems to have some kind of silence in it. some kind of stillness, quiescence. You are quiet and no longer disturbed in the presence of that to which you must submit. So we have different things going on here. We can call it submission, acquiescence, and surrender. But not in the sense of defeat, but in the sense of being empowered by an energy which finally is admitted and against which rebellion has ceased. Okay. So after that acquiescence, the disciple passes on to the fixed cross and prepares for the tests and trials of initiation. Well, here again, yes, we can say that we are preparing for the first initiation even before that initiation occurs, and we are on the fixed cross in doing so. When do we actually enter the kingdom of God? Well, it's said to be at the first initiation, but, you know, as in all things and in astrology, there are these overlaps, aren't there? So we have to, when we're looking for that exact point at which the fixed cross begins, we have to be a little bit fluid, a little bit flexible, and look at the process of Piscean acquiescence, giving way to the beginning of the test and trials. Just imagine we have a chart in which Pisces may be the sun sign and Leo the rising sign. We can understand the need for acquiescence and the movement towards the first initiation under Leo. These things are possible if your intuition tells you, actually, that the person is responding to the chart with that possibility and actually stands at that stage of development. This is expressed for us in the occult symbology of the old commentary as follows. The light shines forth because the greater light and the lesser light approach and invoke each other. This, of course, sounds like soul and personality are antichronic. They're blended lights, though not yet one radiant sun emerging fast under Virgo. These blended lights reveal the lighted way or the path. So we have kind of a, I guess, we're looking here at the way of considering the cross as a whole. We're looking at what he said of Gemini, the presentation of duality in the dual lights and the blending in Virgo, and probably we'll see here as well the presentation of focused energy in the blended radiance of Sagittarius and Pisces, respectively. So maybe what I should do, I think so, yes, before getting into this, is say that this is the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 139B, page, 562, I suppose, and beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 139C, page 562. Let us sound the great invocation together. I think that's something we could and should do periodically. Okay. Om. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.